Well, His presence is in manifestation right now. If you're watching online or if you're in the house today, just go ahead and receive His grace in the area of strength, His grace in the area of healing. We speak a word of faith over each and every one of you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, those that are watching online, we come against sickness and disease. We take our authority right now. And in the name above every name, we plead the blood of Jesus over every heart, or every mind, or every body. In the mighty name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be quickened and be strengthened. Be whole in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. So good to have all of you here this day. Praise the Lord. You can go ahead and be seated just for a few moments today as we go over some scriptures. The first one we want to start with is 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4, where it says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you." Well, the gospel's good news, which you also received and in which you stand. How many of you are standing in the word today?
Amen.
"By which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which also I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the word of God."
Hallelujah. Well, today we want to talk about what is so good about Good Friday. As you know, Christians around the world use this term, Good Friday, to remind us all of the day that Jesus was crucified. Yes. As we were entering into that beautiful worship, I just kept reminding myself, or kept coming up in my heart, of Psalms 103. "Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name, and forget not all his benefits." Thank God for Good Friday. If there had not been this crucifixion, there couldn't have been a resurrection.
Very true.
And without this resurrection that Jesus did, there would not be anything called Christianity. You see, this day, without this day, Good Friday, the day that Jesus gave his all, there wouldn't be an Easter Sunday or a resurrection. Praise God for the joy that we celebrate his resurrection on Sunday. But today we are going to remember that supreme sacrifice that Jesus paid for us. Mm-hmm. It's the foundation of Christianity. Without his death, there could be no resurrection from the dead. That's why Good Friday is so important, and why we say it's Good Friday. It's a good day for us when he redeemed us. Amen?
Amen. And of course, Jesus talked a lot about his death and his resurrection through the Gospels. Let me just share with you a few of them. First of all, from Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21, "From that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised the third day." Then, of course, in Matthew 17, verses 23 through 23, it says, "Now, while they were staying in Galilee, Jesus said to them, 'The Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and on the third day he will be raised up.'"
Hallelujah.
"And they were exceeding sorrowful." And then lastly, in Matthew chapter 20, verses 17 through verse 19, it says, "Now Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples aside on the road and said to them, 'Behold, we are going to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes. And they will condemn him to death, deliver him to the Gentiles, and mock and to scourge him and to crucify him. But oh, thank God, on that third day, he will rise again.'"
Amen. And just in those passages that you read there, we can see that every time Jesus referred to his death, he also, in the same breath, said, but I'm going to raise again. Amen. Yeah. He knew that it was going to be a temporary situation. He knew what his mission was. His mission coming to earth was not to be a martyr, but to be our Messiah.
Yeah.
The one who would lead us back into relationship with God, our living Savior. Amen. Some of you in here are old enough to remember Bill Gaither. He's still alive, but how many of you have heard of the Gaither singing trio or whatever? They have a lot of different singing groups. And one of the songs that he sang it many years ago, God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. And then I love the chorus of this. Because he lives, what can we do? I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone.
Yes.
Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Hallelujah. He is alive. But you know what? He died before he could come back and be resurrected. And when he died, he did not die alone. He took all of our sins, our sorrow, our pains, and he took them to the cross with him. And he took them to the grave, and they died with him. It's called the Great Exchange.
That's right. Amen.
Hallelujah.
You know, on the cross, Jesus had seven sayings. And I want to talk to you just for a few moments about the sixth saying from the cross. Hmm. How many of you know what it is? It is where he said, it is finished. Now, I want to read from a tremendous, tremendous new book called From Gethsemane to Golgotha. It's by a good friend of our son, Reverend Keith Hershey. His son, Pastor Joshua Hershey, has written this book, and you can get it on Amazon. It is so very, very rich. It's very, very detailed and very deep. But I wanted to share something about what Jesus said in his finish, and I quote, immediately after tasting the sour wine on the sponge, Jesus shouted his sixth word. Everyone say, it is finished.
It is finished.
Josh goes on to say, in the Greek, it is only one word, tetestelesi, or tetestlestai, something like that. T-E-T-E-L-E-S-T-A-I. I'm just going to say tetestelai. The Greek word is not in the past tense, but it's called something in the perfect tense. Now, what does that mean? That means, though it has occurred in the past, its effects and its influence persists right now in the present. Amen. The emphasis then is on the present significance. So it could be translated this way. It remains finished. Mm. Everyone say, it remains.
It remains.
Finished.
Finished.
So it was finished, but it is remaining finished. I like that.
I like that too.
Or in other words, it stands complete. Josh goes on to say this. Jesus was letting us know with this shout that the work of the Father had sent him to perform was fully accomplished, and that nothing could ever reverse or annul its effect.
Glory.
I
so
love that,
good.
Don't
Amen.
You?
Amen. Amen.
He goes on to say this word, and I won't try to pronounce it again. This word was used in the ancient world in a lot of interesting ways. For example, when a person's sentence would come to a conclusion, the jailer would write that word across the certificate of debt, and it was posted outside of their cell. In other words, it is finished. The prisoner could leave having this document in hand as a testimony that their sentence had been paid in full and never needed to be paid again.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Another occasion this word was used was when a craftsman had completed a project. You know, we're waiting for a project to be completed in our house.
Weeks.
Amen. We're saying it is done by faith. Amen.
Yeah, let's say it is finished. Maybe a little, anyway.
So again, another occasion was when a craftsman had completed a project. Upon surveying his work and noticing that every detail was just as it should be, they would exclaim, "It is finished."
Hallelujah.
In fact, it is very possible that Jesus would say this after. Glory to God. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
That Jesus would say this. Praise the Lord. I lost my place. Amen.
It's back complete here. It is glorious truth.
All right. Okay. In fact, it is very possible Jesus would say this after completing carpentry projects. It is a glorious truth to know that our eternal salvation has been fully secured by the work of another, and that he is fully satisfied with his own work.
Yeah.
The debt of our sin, the debt of our disease, the debt of our lack has been fully paid and never needs to be paid again.
Hallelujah.
So being saved from sin, death, and hell is a gift from God.
Yes, it is.
And Paul writes, "By grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God."
Yeah.
And so what is grace? Grace is simply unmerited favor, and faith is the instrument that receives this unmerited favor. He goes on to say, while we are to be people of good works, our works are solely the flip side of salvation, a fruit of our faith in salvation. We work out the salvation that God has already graciously placed inside of us. There's nothing we need to do to earn our favor with God.
Hallelujah.
Lastly, through the work of redemption has been, though the work of redemption has been accomplished for all mankind, it still must be applied in all of its benefits through faith.
Amen.
And so how many of you are in faith believing that
Amen.
You receive, like Brenda quoted, all the benefits that Jesus bought and paid for you and I? I thought you'd enjoy that.
That was rich. Amen. So we can see, even what you just shared there, that we have been offered to make an extraordinary set of exchanges at the cross. That's what Jesus did. We'll look at these. The first one we want to talk about, the first exchange, he took our sin and he gave us his righteousness.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made," what? "The righteousness of God in him." At the cross, we see him offering this wonderful exchange for us. Him being a perfectly righteous man, he had never known sin, sickness, or disease. He hangs on that cross willingly for us. And he's saying to us, "Give me your sinfulness and I'll give you my righteousness."
Yeah, good.
The Bible talks about over in Isaiah chapter 53 that the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And then Peter, when he was writing his writings, he could look back at the cross. And he said in 1 Peter 2:24, "Who himself bore our sins." Where did he? He bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. And then the apostle John, He looked back at what Jesus did for us in this redemptive plan of salvation. And he said in 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, in the New Living Translation, "This is real love.
Yeah.
Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and he sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins." Someone sent me this morning this quote, and I love it. It said, "From his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love mingled down."
Yeah.
Did ever such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown?
That's so good.
Isn't that good? Amen.
Love that. That great exchange.
The great exchange.
He was made sin with our sinfulness, that we might be made righteous with his righteousness.
Amen.
You know, and that's really a revelation, sweetheart, that people really need to grab hold of.
That's for sure.
Because without a revelation, if you will, of righteousness, people won't be able to pray effectively.
That's true.
Now, why is that? Because it's the fervent prayer of a righteous man. That avails much, makes tremendous power available and dynamic in its working. Mm-hmm. And my goodness, is prayer necessary in the day in which we live?
Yeah.
Amen?
Yes.
And so there's no time for us to walk around with our head down, to think about our past sins. You know, the past is gone.
Yeah.
And it should be forgotten. And it should be let go.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we let those things go, we need to embrace our right standing with God.
That's right.
Amen? I like what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15. He said, awake to righteousness.
That's right. Awake,
you know, we've been praying a lot about the awakening in our nation, but also we've been praying a lot about an awakening in the body of Christ.
That's right.
Well, I think this is one thing that the body of Christ needs to wake up to. We're not just old sinners saved by grace, are we?
No way.
We were sinners. We got saved by grace. Yeah. But thank God now we have right standing with God.
Yeah.
Remember Kenyon, E.W. Ken, thinking about Kenneth Hagin. Remember E.W. Kenyon, he defined righteousness as this, the ability to stand in the presence of a holy God without a sense of fear or inferiority.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Yeah. To stand before him as if sin never existed before.
That's true.
Now, when you get that understanding, that'll put some boldness in your life.
Well,
you got a hold of that when you were a little girl, didn't you?
I did, for sure. It reminds me of Hebrews chapter 4, where it says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace.
That's right.
And even today, all across the world, when people are celebrating Good Friday, oftentimes people are just reminded of how sinful they are. Well, we were sinners, but we have been saved by grace. And I can remember that even as a little girl, just embracing the fact that Jesus had forgiven me for all my sins, even as a kid, you know, thinking about all the wrong that I had done. But we can't meditate upon all the things that we have done wrong. We need to meditate upon what he has done right.
That's right.
And he has made us the righteousness of God.
And when that dawns on your spirit,
it does. Woo. Changes something.
It opens your eyes.
Yeah.
It's like the entrance of his word gives light.
Yep.
I can remember when I checked myself into a state hospital in Minnesota from drug addiction. You know my testimony. But I remember talking to Lyle Pearson. He was the head of the Full Gospel Business and Fellowship International. He was my first interview as they took me in. And I had no idea that he was a Christian. Later on, we became good friends. But I'll never forget, I was sitting in his office, and he was talking about how much Jesus loved me and how that Jesus had forgiven me.
Yeah.
And today is a new day. Well, you know what? Those were just words. It hadn't dawned on my spirit yet. But all months later, I came to Christ, and the revelation of righteousness entered into my spirit and lit up my life. And I believe that's what the body of Christ needs. We need to get lit.
Yeah. Get lit.
I mean,
revelation knowledge.
Get lit. I'm talking about in a good way.
Yeah. The Holy Ghost and revelation
that's
knowledge.
Right.
Yep. And that
Amen.
You're not an old worm anymore.
No, that's right.
Some people go around with that kind of an attitude.
Yeah.
I'm just an old worm and I got to slither in the back door of the throne room. No. Amen.
That's right.
We're lit with the revelation of who we are.
Yes. The great exchange.
Hallelujah.
The great exchange.
Thank you, Jesus.
Another exchange is, how about this one? He took our brokenness and gave us his wholeness.
Yes, thank you.
Of course,
Jesus.
Isaiah 53, 4 and 5 is just jam-packed. I encourage you to read Isaiah 53 today. It is just so full
powerful.
Of redemption. Mm-hmm. But let me quote a couple of scriptures. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5 says, surely he has, that's positive right there.
Yes, it is.
Surely he has borne our griefs, literally sicknesses, weaknesses, And I like to say it this, brokenness and distresses.
Amen.
He carried your sorrows and pains of punishment.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yet we were ignorant. We considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God as with leprosy. But oh, verse 5 says this. Could we read it together, please? But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him. And with the stripes that wounded him,
we are healed and
Oh, glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
So shalom, shalom.
Amen.
Shalom, shalom to you watching.
Amen.
Shalom, shalom to all of you in the house today. Shalom being interpreted, may there be nothing missing and nothing broken in your life.
Amen.
Because Jesus took your brokenness and made the reality of his wholeness in an area of our lives.
Yes, amen.
Whole in our bodies.
Yeah.
Whole in our minds.
Yes.
Many people's minds have been broken by the spirit of this age and the spirit of this world.
Yeah.
But oh, thank God, his transformational resurrection power can go into a soul and can go into a mind and make it whole again.
Amen. And even broken hearts.
Yeah.
People have been wounded in life by circumstances and by what people have done to them. But aren't you thankful that he came to heal the brokenhearted?
Yeah.
Over in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, I love this out of the Amplified. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me, the anointed one, the Messiah, to preach the good news.
Good news.
The gospel to the poor. He has sent me to announce release to the captives.
Oh, yeah.
And recovery of sight to the blind. To set forth as delivered those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed, and broken down by calamity.
Yeah.
I'd say that covers it all. Jesus came to deliver the oppressed.
Wow.
He came to lift the crushed.
Come on.
He came to heal the brokenhearted. Hallelujah.
And he announced it.
He announced what he was
He announced
to do.
It. He released what he came to do with faith-filled words.
Amen. Yes.
Amen.
And on that day.
And so we speak a word over your life.
Amen.
Be released.
Amen. Amen.
Be blessed.
Yeah.
Be whole.
Yeah.
For the Spirit of the Lord is in this place today.
Amen.
And now where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
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 Hallelujah.
You watching, be free, be liberated.
Yeah. Be released.
In the name of Jesus.
I love how it says that. To announce release.
That's good.
To the captives.
Announcement.
Wow. The prison doors have been unlocked and open. And then recovery of the sight.
Uh-huh.
And as we were preparing for this, you know, that something came up in my heart. Even, of course, he came to heal those whose eyes are blind. But even recovery of sight for people who have lost hope, who have lost their vision and their dream about the future.
Come on.
Jesus came to say, your future is as bright as I can make it.
Yeah.
Jesus came to say, don't lose hope on those things that I have put on the inside of you. Rekindle that vision. Stir up that dream that I gave you. It came from him. And today, some people watching and people in here, Jesus wants to give you recovery of sight.
Yes.
See why he created
Amen.
You. See what he has called you to do and to be. Amen.
Wow.
Thank
wow.
you, Lord. Thank you.
You know, the
Lord.
Other thing that comes to me is you're sharing that revelation announcing.
Announce.
With faith-filled words.
Yeah.
One of the things that we've been praying a lot about is the gift of faith or special faith.
Mm-hmm.
And what I have in my heart is this.
Yeah.
Yes, the Spirit of the Lord is here today to minister to you. But I also want to remind you, because you're born of God, because you're filled with God, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you.
Upon you.
It's upon you.
Thank you, Lord.
It's upon you. Mm-hmm. And with your faith-filled words, you can announce, you can release over your loved ones' lives.
Yeah.
You can announce, you can release faith-filled words. Sometimes we're expecting even the gift of faith to go into operation for there to be a special unction upon your words, and so shall the captives be set free, and so shall they return unto me, and the goodness of the Lord shall be seen around, all around them, and the blessings of the Lord shall abound. So be ye a person, be ye a man, a woman of God, that will announce liberty and release to the captives that are all around you, says the Lord of hosts. Glory to God.
And even the faith-filled words, again, I have something so strong over your future.
Come on.
And over your life. Don't curse yourself by saying, oh, I'm a failure, or I missed it here, or I missed it there. Use your faith.
Yeah.
Let your words paint a picture of your future.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for a bright, bright future.
Glory, glory,
hallelujah.
God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Wowzer. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Glory, glory, glory.
Well, God is good.
Amen, amen.
Jesus, what you've done
thank
for
you,
us.
Thank
Hallelujah.
You, thank you. Praise
Hallelujah.
The Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I think we ought to praise Him for a moment.
Thank you, Jesus.
Go ahead and stir yourself
thank
up a little
you, Jesus.
Bit.
We thank you, Lord.
There's a
faith
stirring. There's
house.
A stirring in the ranks at Heart of the Bay.
Ha, ha, ha,
there's
ha.
A stirring in the ranks. Oh, breki samaline.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh,
Jesus.
Thank you for that Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost stirring in the ranks. Oh, Rabasi Telamande. We magnify you, Lord.
We do magnify you.
Oh, glory to God.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, such a great sacrifice.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus.
Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through your blood, even the forgiveness of sins, even the healing of our bodies, even the supplier of all of our need. We have redemption through the blood of Jesus. And
thank
Lord,
you,
we
Jesus.
Thank you because of the cross of Calvary and because of your great substitutionary sacrifice, we are overcomers.
Yes,
you said in Revelation 12:11 that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb.
Yes, yes,
and
yes.
by the word of our testimony.
Thank you, Lord.
So we
Jesus.
Testify to say that the Lord is good and His mercy
endureth
forever. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that you're a blessed people?
Amen, amen.
Another
amen.
Great exchange is He became a curse for us. So that we may be blessed.
Mm.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
How many of you know you cannot curse whom God has blessed?
Amen.
Now
Amen.
The curse is out there. It's knocking on the door. But thank God it can't get in because we're not going to let it in. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Yeah.
Let
thank
the
you,
purchased
Lord.
Of the
thank
Prince
you,
of Peace prophesy over their lives.
Thank
it is
you,
well,
Jesus.
It is well. It is well
it
with
is
my soul.
Well.
It is well.
It is well.
It is well. Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law.
Thank you, Jesus.
Being made a curse for you. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
He purchased your freedom. So what He took, we don't need to take.
We don't need to take.
Amen.
Amen.
What He bore,
we don't need to bear.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And that includes safety for you.
Yeah.
You know, how many of you know that being in a messed up world and seeing what's going on around us is a curse?
Yeah.
But we're not the cursed. Mm. We're the blessed. We are not defined by what's going on in this world's failing system.
No way.
We are blessed coming in, and we are blessed going out.
And
what are we, the head?
The head, not the tail. And we are more than conquerors, and we are overcomers. Revelation chapter 10, verse 11, they overcame him, who, the enemy, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So we make much of the blood.
We make much
and the,
of the
blood,
blood
makes much for us. There's, like you said, there's keeping power, there's protecting power in this wonderful, precious shed blood.
So we speak a word of protection over all of our members.
Yes, we do.
We speak a word of protection over all of our partners, all of our family members. In the name of Jesus, we thank you that no weapon formed against any of them shall prosper, and no evil shall befall them, neither shall any plague come nigh their dwelling. We thank you, Lord, that the angels of the Lord are encamped around about the heart of the Bay family.
They are.
The angels of the Lord are encamped around our personal family.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord, that we're redeemed from accidents. We're redeemed by being overtaken by terrorism. We are the blessed of the Lord, and we're walking in the joy of the Lord.
Yes, in the name of Jesus. And there's something else that just comes up in my heart about how Jesus took our mental torment. We talked about this to some degree, but I just see this picture in my heart many times when I'm reading, like Isaiah chapter 53, the thorns that were that crown of thorns that was placed on his head, and they pushed it down, and it caused blood to stream down his face. That was for our mental torment. And again, in the time in which we're living, there's so many opportunities for fear and for mental torment to come against us, and anxiety and pressure and depression. But I just want to remind every one of us today that on that same day, in the same body, that he bore our sin and the stripes on his back that paid for our healing. That very same day, that mental torment was paid for. And we don't have to walk through this life full of fear, full of anxiety, but we receive that supreme sacrifice.
Yes.
And another thing that torments people often is rejection. This thought of, I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy enough. But Jesus, that's another exchange that he did for us. He took our rejection and he gave us his acceptance.
That's right.
Jesus suffered and he bore the greatest rejection possible.
Yeah.
Not only was he despised by men, again in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 3, I'll just quote a little bit. It says, he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him because he was so despised. We did not esteem him. Not only did men reject him as the Lord and the Savior and the Messiah, but the worst rejection that he endured and he encountered that day was that separation and that rejection from his Father. He had never known what it was like to be without his Father's presence, his Father's love, and his Father's full approval and acceptance. That's why on that day on the cross, he uttered those words in agony. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He'd never known life without his Father's presence.
Yeah.
That's bearing the ultimate rejection.
That's right.
So that you and I will never know.
Wow.
We don't have to know what it's
so
like
good.
To be forsaken and to be alone.
That's right.
We can be accepted. We are accepted. And we can draw near to the Father. In Ephesians 2:13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ.
Good
preaching. All of us without Jesus were afar off. All of us were rejected. Some of you in here were not only afar off, you were far out.
Uh-oh.
But regardless of what you've done or where you've been in your past, you're no longer rejected.
That's right. That's
we're
so good.
Accepted in the
beloved.
Hallelujah.
I think that right there is a good landing place.
Hallelujah.
Like that was
thank you,
so
Lord Jesus.
Very rich. He was forsaken, so you are not.
Glory to God.
He will never leave you nor forsake you.
Hallelujah.
His
Amen.
Grip on you will never slip. Amen.
Yes. Thank you,
Praise
Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Thank
we're going
to
ask Pastor Tom to come back, and we're going to receive communion right now. So if you would so kindly get your elements ready, and I'm going to try to man this one. Got a man up on this.
Oh
there we
gosh.
Go. Got it. Praise the Lord. Did everyone get their communion elements? Praise God. So say this with me, Father. As I reflect on what's so good.
As I reflect on what's so good.
About Good Friday.
About Good Friday.
I'm so very thankful.
I'm so very thankful.
For your son Jesus.
For your son Jesus.
Who came to give his life for me.
Who came to give his life for
me. You came to take my sin on the cross.
Came to take my sin on the cross.
And in return to forgive.
To heal.
And set me free.
And set me free.
Thank you, Lord, for allowing me.
Thank you, Lord, for allowing
to live a resurrected life.
To live a resurrected life.
Because He lives.
Because He lives.
I live.
I live.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.